We'll just have brief opportunity for some questions, and then Mary's going to make some remarks, and I'll make some remarks. Yes.
Thank you very much, Professor. This has been an extraordinary day. When I hear you speak, and I'm grateful for all that you've shared, and I hear the terms of institution wrapped around marriage, I struggle. I'll give you 10 out of 10. Not that it's not going to score any points here. I think you've done a great job. But I struggle when I hear institution, and yet my Catholic Bible tells me it's a holy covenant, and it's a covenant between a man and a wife and God. So the term institutional, in my thinking, at least in my frame of reference to the Bible, falls short of the true calling of what God has made the covenant of marriage. And that's just a side comment, and do with that as you like.
But that's an important one. Because philosophical, legal, and social science terminology uses these terms somewhat different. What Leah means are necessary societies. Stop. A society is a union of members that transcends the aggregation. It would be what the New Testament means by koinonia or communio. Okay. It's intrinsically valuable in itself, the friendship. But the three great societies for Leo can also be called institutions in this sense. They're transgenerational. Now, clearly, marriage, if you look at it as something apart from family, is not transgenerational. But if you hyphenate it with domestic society, it is transgenerational. In other words, it's not only something you can be born into, but it's meant to last and to be replicated, re-replicated, and participated in over generations. And that does have more of the notion of a covenant. Then this is not like an LLC, a limited liability company. But you raise a very good question, because the three necessary societies, for that Leon point of view, are either by nature or supernature, which means that human law is not the first agent constructing or human will. Although there's plenty of room for human prudence in all three, these are forms to be embodied. They're not forms to be constructed. So regardless of what your political form might be, whether it's democratic or monarchical, the purpose of polity is the same, which is a tranquility of order in the commonwealth, usually including some kind of priority of public law. So we mean by institutions, usually, in a social science sense, are things that we institute. Limited liability companies, or whatever we institute, publicly traded corporations. And they're called institutions at law because the death of its members, even, does not impair the legal personality of the institution. Okay. But that's something different than what he was talking about. If you put marriage in that category, then his worst nightmare of what was going on in family law would have been true even then.
Sim.
Francis has described himself as a Peronist. Mm-hmm. Now, in the real world, does his vision about global capitalism and criticisms really, does it translate into a kind of left-wing populism, which has failed over and over again in South America, from a North American capitalist standpoint?
I see kind of signs of that Peronism, because whether you're left-wing or right-wing Peronist, what you have in common is this: you've got to side with the good people. Not with the people, the riffraff, but the good people. And it depends on who the good people are. The good people are those who are the authentic sign of the body politic. Workers could be the workers. It could be campesinos out in the country. Maybe it's the clergy.
Students often.
Students. Side with the good people. I see evidence of that in Francis. My reading, however, is that he sees little life in corrective force in political organization that's on the ground right now. He rarely has anything good to say about it. And of course, the paradox that opens up is that if you call for global or international authority, you can stop and ask, well, if all of the nation states are suborned and bought off, how in the world are you going to get an international version of this? It would be a nightmare, actually.
If the good people run it.
If the good people run it, I suppose.
Right. One more question, and then Mary's going to say a few things, and I'll say a few things to wrap up. Yes, in the back.
I was wondering how, I was a little confused when you were talking about how, you kept saying how Leo the 13th and subsequent popes up until, I think included...
Early 60s.
16.
Yeah.
Didn't get it. In the sense they didn't understand the phenomenon of global capitalism. And I'm not trying to like... Yeah. I don't really understand what you mean by that, in the sense that I think people like Chesterton, Belloc, here in the United States, George Day, Peter Warren, they thought they understood something that was being taught there.
I'm not talking about Catholics. I'm talking about the magisterial teaching. And that they do not speak of it as an international system that is wired together in ways that many people understood, involving not just labor and capital, but incredible filigree, global system, abstract properties and insurances and hedging and futures, right there in the 19th century. I don't read them talking about that. They understood that banks had a big problem during the Great Depression, but to see the thing as an interrelated system, so that if you touch one part of it, the other parts are being touched too, which is the way the secularism do really understand capitalism as an interconnected, almost natural system, to use Professor Hanby's thing. It substitutes for a natural system. In fact, you can take its temperature, and you only notice that something is wrong if it stops working. And it's like when you're in your house, you just go to your air conditioner. What? Boom, boom, boom. Make it work again. Following laws that give you the ability to, as they put it, have quantifiable uncertainties, and to quantify those things, and you can bet on them and trade on them. I see no recognition of that. And I think I understand why. They had bigger problems on their hands. But number two, when it gets to JP2.0, and they know they have to talk more. So in 1989, after the events of 1989, Synthesi was on this estimate. In fact, there's quite a bit of Synthesi was on this on the multifaceted understanding of political economy and so forth. Here's where I see the problem. They want to fit it into a social category that it doesn't belong in. That is, they want to civilize it by making something like the solidarity movement in Poland. Solidarity movement was not just an economic movement, right? It was a movement of civil society that actually became a symbol for the entire nation at a certain point. And I think that Professor Hanby, I think, said it, the Wittgensteinian thing. If you keep on writing encyclicals about something and you don't have it nailed down, and you keep on making category mistakes by trying to put competitive capitalism under koinonia, as though, or civil society, as though we're just dealing with the green grocer down the street or something, you should stop talking at a certain point on that. You just don't have the grip on this kind of thing in the same way as the papacy after 1815 didn't have a grip on what that revolution was or what modern democratic ideologies were. It took them until Leo XIII to start to get a conceptual grip on what's going on here. I claim this is still going on with the problem of capitalism for Catholic social doctrine, and that Francis stepped in to avoid, stepped into this problem, and he's doing something that I think I understand. We don't try to conceptualize it all. Suffer. And you'll start to understand why it really is a system and why there are harms being created that are both near and distant. But we start to use our imagination from experience on those. It's a different way of looking at it. Now, I think I understand why it happened. Because I don't think we had this one under conceptual control. And it didn't fit neatly into the politics book two. It really didn't. I mean, if you go to politics book two, I mean, our international system of competitive markets, looked to Aristotle, looked like quite perverse. I mean, Aristotle was just saying they're perverse. That's the best I can do in my little Minervian mode.
Thank you, Andrew.